The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet.
This is an exclusive presentation of Podcast One Sports.
What up? This is Robert Orton.
Or three-pointer. Buries it!
You might know me as Big Shot Bob.
To Orton for three. Oh, unbelievable. This guy is off the charts.
What's going on, Big Shot Bob?
Robert Orton from downtown.
Now that's making a statement.
The never-ending quest to talk to every member of the 95 Rockets continues this week on the Big Shot Bob.
Every single member.
Podcast. Yeah, that's B-Dog Brandon Harper. My name's Rob Jenners. That, of course, seven-time NBA champion, Robert Kirkpatrick Ori. No, Keith. Sorry, Robert Keith. I should give you a different middle name every time we do this show.
I know it, right?
Sam Cassell going to join us here. This week, hopefully in a few minutes here, we'll get Sam on. But Sam, are you and Sam still tight?
Oh, yeah. He's one of my closest former teammates. You know, think about it. We came in together, young guys, fresh in the NBA, trying to find our
first
way.
First couple years, man. Both
yeah,
of you.
And we lived across the street from each other, too. And we used to drive the shoot-arounds together. Yeah. So,
that's funny.
Sam and I was close, yeah.
You guys were a year apart, draft classes?
Yeah, I was 92. He was 93. But yeah. Sam is still older than me, though. You know.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Both of y'all first round picks too.
Yeah, he went to prep school, Florida State.
Yeah.
Seminole.
Well, he's obviously working with the 76ers now. Did some work with Ben Simmons, of course. Harper wears his Believe Atlanta T-shirt. Freaking Sam Cassell on the
show. Oh, we gonna have some
fun
here today,
he is.
Baby.
He's on now. Here he is. Hold on.
All right, hold up. He's like a little schoolgirl, right? He's just giddy as hell.
He's so proud of himself. He's
you
so
would think
proud
Sam was on the court playing how giddy
I know,
he is right
he's
now.
So proud of himself.
Hey, I saw Sam standing up a lot. You know, he was right there, right next to Doc Rivers, standing up right there next to him.
You know, someone should be standing next to Sam here pretty soon. He should get him a head coaching gig. He's grinded.
Yeah.
Hard.
He came real close. So, I'm actually, yeah. As soon as he gets up here, I'm going to ask him.
But I'm glad Sam didn't get that job.
Why?
Because wherever he gets a job, I'm going with him. That's why I'm rooting for
Are
Orlando,
you?
Florida.
Whoa.
That's the job Sam needs. Orlando, Florida.
So he gets the Magic
no
head coach.
No, dude,
I lived in Florida for 10 years. I am well aware of the unmitigated run-free zone that is Florida. But is that what you want to do? Like, if he gets the gig as the Magic head coach, are you going to take an assistant job?
You know, I've always had the dream to be an assistant coach. I don't want to be the head coach because my attitude, I can be an a-hole at times, and you have to be compassionate with these players in today's league.
Okay.
And I'm not that very compassionate at times.
I never had a lot of compassionate coaches in my life. I never did. I never did either. Yeah, like I think we just come from a different generation.
Orlando?
And I figured that turned out all right. Yeah.
All right.
You got to get your feet wet somewhere.
You're right.
Okay.
Just everybody is not as fortunate as Steve Kerr to land on a team like, damn, look, my first year coaching, I got a title. You know, damn, look at, you know, it's hard like that.
Yeah.
There he is.
Yeah, but I ain't home. I'm not home. I'm in the gym.
Oh, he's over at the gym.
I'm in the gym. So.
Oh.
You're real digitized.
See if I got a better connection.
I hope you end up working with Ben Simmons.
Oh wow!
No, I'm in here. I'm in Baltimore in the gym, man.
Oh. Stop. All right. Right out of the gate with the Ben Simmons stuff. Yeah, right out of the damn gate.
You couldn't save it, could you?
Well, you know, I figure I'd be the first before you say something.
I wasn't gonna say nothing.
Yeah, you were.
My ass. You weren't gonna say nothing with your hawk shirt on. Yeah, I'm gonna say nothing.
Hey, you get like
I'm
Rudy
in the
T.
office now.
Oh, much yeah. better, much
hey,
better.
Hey, you like Rudy T? We had him on. He was like, "Hey, get this thing on. No batteries."
Yeah, Rudy's pushing buttons and turning stuff on and off. And I mean, whoa.
Right.
So, how you doing, Sam?
Pretty good, man. No complaints my way, you know.
Good.
No complaints.
Good, man. Where are you at? You said you were in Baltimore?
I'm in Baltimore, yep. I'm at the, what's this called? The Underarm Community Center. My best friend is the athletic director named Kirk Lee. He's here, so I'm visiting him. So
wow.
I was here already, so.
Okay.
Very cool.
I let you try to go back home and get him.
You can blame Mr. Ori for that one. He's I got to do the jump.
Right. I was home early today.
Changing the schedule, man. The drop.
Hey,
of the
man. Hey, I got to make my money diva. Too. I ain't as fortunate as Sam to have a coaching gig. You know, I have to get my scraps here when I got to run to the jump. I got to get that gas money. You know what I mean?
Right.
Exactly.
Got to get it.
Speaking of coaching, you know, Sam, I've always know you had a mind for basketball from when we used to live across the street from each other. We used to ride the shoot arounds together. We used to hang out all the time, you know, and I was so excited she was going to get that Houston job. Cause I was like, you know, I ain't never asked Sam for a favor, but damn it. If he get that Houston job, I want to be on his staff.
You know, he's definitely going to be on my staff.
He didn't get that. So I'm hoping you get one very soon, man, and I'm praying for you because I know you've grinded so hard, and I look at all these guys who pop up out of nowhere and get jobs, man. You know, I'm not just saying this because I love you and you're my friend, you're my boy, but I know your coaching mind. I know your body of work you've done over years, so I just want to start out by saying that I hope you get one of those coaching head jobs soon because you deserve it, man.
Hey, man, I'm just going to – one thing about me, Rob, as you know this, I've been an underdog all my life. You know, mm-hmm. So I'm gonna keep fighting, man, because it's something I love doing, and I'm good at it. I know I'm good at it.
Well, I mean, Rob took his Ben Simmons shot right out of the gate, so you're at the gym. You might as well be there with Ben. You did a lot of work with Ben. Obviously, things mm-hmm. didn't necessarily end in the postseason as you guys hoped they would.
Mm-hmm. Hey, sit down, B. Harp.
Yeah, no, he's Harper's all happy. He's got his. We're in Atlanta, so you've got Hawks people over here. Can you talk a little bit about kind of the work you did with Ben this season, and kind of where maybe things didn't really go the way they were planned in that round there?
Well, I don't think Ben cost us the game in Game 7. I think Ben had a pretty good season. He's an all-star. You know, everybody go through certain criteria and certain parts of the basketball game that's maybe good or bad, you know. Like when I play Rudy T, say one thing about San Cristel, you're gonna get something good or bad, but you're gonna get something, you know. And yeah. In my opinion, I think Ben, you know, played well. You know, Ben held Trae Young to 5-26. But you know, yeah, give Ben a chance, man. Ben understand what he has to do. Our organization got a lot of respect for Ben, and we feel Ben can get the job done. You know, Ben's gonna work hard, and enjoy Ben Simmons. That's all I can tell him.
Right, and you know the funny thing about that, Sam, is you know, so many people had, you know, I guess so many excuses when you all went down, you know, to the Hawks mm-hmm. in the semis, and they were like, well, Ben Simmons this and Ben Simmons that. And even though, okay, you know, everybody has their opinion and he's not the greatest shooter, but Ben playing the way that he played in the regular season with Embiid and everybody else, you all were good enough to get the number one seed.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So Ben actually was a key member on our basketball team, man. And I think the world of Ben. I think our organization thinks the world of Ben. The expectations of the Sixers gotten higher. So, hey, with come high expectation comes a lot of pressure, but you got to withstand the pressure and go forward. So I think our guys can do that.
You know, the biggest thing about basketball, Sam, you and I experienced this being in Houston, when you make it to that mountaintop, like we did in 94 and 95, and then the next year you don't have the season everybody's expecting you to have, they need some scapegoats. And think about it. Sam and I were scapegoats in Houston. We need to get rid of them, and they got to bring in Charles Barkley. And look what happened. They ain't been back to the final since. And you can't always look for a scapegoat. And that's what people want to do. They want to have a reason for losing. You lost because one of your top guys, Danny Green, was out, and you got a hot Trae Young. There are reasons you do lose that don't pertain to you. Mm-hmm. You have to give credit where credit due to the other team. Think about it. Atlanta played above and beyond what anybody thought they could do. No offense, be hard, but they did.
No, absolutely,
so
they did.
You have to just give credit where it's credit due. And everybody wants to have a scapegoat. Oh, you was the number one seed. You know, big deal. Nobody ever talked about Pop being the number one seed and getting bounced twice. So, you know, let's roll with this. You know, the Hawks stepped up to the plate and won. You know, don't point the finger at Ben Simmons. Don't point the finger at Doc Rivers. Just say, hey, we got beat by a better team.
Yeah, and that's how we look at it. We don't – listen, man. Ben Simmons helped us win a lot of the games. It's not about Ben. You lose as a team, man. So the whole thing, we lost as a team. Atlanta deserved to win. We could have did some things better, but you know, the losers always say that, so it's not nothing. You know, they just score more points than us. No, we have opportunities to win the game, but you know, just you know, but yeah, I'm done talking about the Sixers.
Yeah, exactly.
But hold on. That sounds like you're going somewhere else, Sam. You kind of need to
I'm not talking about this. That last season. I'm looking forward to this new season.
Don't try to pull a headline out of this.
I'm looking forward to this next season. Because, man, it's a hard. Like, we came in, it was a short training camp, and everybody had the same problems this year, man. Mm-hmm. It was tough, man.
Yeah.
You know, I was just thinking about as a player, could I handle this? It was tough, man. It was tough. So I commend all the players in the league for doing this, man. This was a tough season, man, playing every other day, no practice time, you know, 4 games in 5 nights. It was kind of tough, man, just being a coach and watching these guys do it every night, man. It was tough.
So you talk about the, you know.
Man, my bad at me to do that shit.
You know, you talk about the historic moment that the NBA had, you know, during the conference finals of each, you know, Eastern and Western, where you had three African-American head coaches amongst the four. Just talk about how great it is for, you know, for you and for the rest of the league to see out of the four coaches of the four remaining teams, three of them being African-American. As an African-American man, you know, what went through your mind when you, you know, you saw something like that?
Historic, man. That was a good moment to see them guys coaching, man, like that, and seeing African-American coaches getting their proper credit, man, because it's hard. Coaching this league is hard. People think you see the product on TV and mm-hmm. just like it happens overnight. It don't. I coached some bad teams before. And like an old saying from my old coach Flip used to always say, there's no such things as bad teams, it's bad players. Mm-hmm. And bad players make up bad teams. But to see the African American coaches, man, the take that stage, man, it was special because I remember there wasn't that many in our league in the early 90s. It wasn't that many. And to see where we have come from and where we're going, you know, it's gonna be good in the future. Very, very good.
All right, well, you know, like when we bring you stuff that we present to you on the show, we like to make sure that it works. We like to make sure that it's a good product. And our buddies at NordVPN, one of the best investments I've made, which is why I like talking about these guys, was buying that 2-year plan from Nord, because a virtual private network, if you spend a lot of time on the internet, and Lord knows I spent a lot of time on the freaking internet, it's a great way to just kind of keep your privacy, man. Block your IP address, make sure you're browsing safe, and you know people aren't tracking you and following you all around, using your social media to stalk you with products and stuff. It's awesome. It's pretty much just a necessity.
Who in this day and age doesn't spend a lot of time on the internet?
Oh my God.
And if you're using a VPN, you need a fast one. And that's why it sets NordVPN apart from the rest. You know, no lagging, no reconnecting, just reliable connections all the time. And, you know, it works on your computer, your phone, and you can even use it on your TV. It works on 6 devices. So it keeps you safe online, and it's basically a no-brainer.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, even to get it on your smart TV is awesome. The fastest VPN on the market. We've got a deal. Here's the deal. Try it for 30 days. There's no risk. It's a 30-day money-back guarantee. I promise you, you're going to try NordVPN, and you're probably just going to roll with it. They're really, really good. They're really fast, always reliable. They have a cool little auto connect feature, so like if you forget that I didn't turn it on and I'm on my social media, it'll connect automatically for you. So just a lot of really cool little things on there for you to try. 30 days, it's yours for nothing, and to get you on the board, Rob's got the hookup.
Yeah, I like things with no risk, and just go to nordvpn.com/ori. That's Hory, the nordvpn.com/ori, and we'll hook you up with a huge discount on a 2-year plan. That's mm-hmm. 2 years. You count on 1, 2. And a bonus gift. Just use the coupon code ORI, H-O-R-R-Y, at checkout, nordvpn.com/ORI. But do it quick, because this offer is up soon.
All right, well, let's do this. Let's get off the current NBA, and let's take a step backwards. We joked early in the show, we are like on this quest now, since we're doing this show with Rob, to get everybody from like the 94, 95 Rockets on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like we just, mm-hmm. at this point, we've talked to just Mario and yourself and
Vernon Maxwell.
Vernon Maxwell and Rudy T. Yeah. And we're on the quest.
Good.
Did you guys, know early on? Because Robbie, I'm sorry, go ahead, Rob.
But the funny part, you know, we were supposed to have Kenny on, but he got mad because I called him out and didn't want to come on.
Yeah, Rob said Kenny wasn't the leader of the team or something, and Kenny got all mad.
Kenny got all sideways
on him.
Because, you know, the question, you know, Shaq was joking with him on the show and was like saying, you wasn't the leader. Vernon was that vocal leader. And Kenny said, no, it was me. And then so Shaq had me on his podcast. I'm like, no, it wasn't Kenny. It was Vernon.
So Sam, got mad. You go ahead and settle this. Who was the vocal and emotional leader?
I say Vernon was the emotional leader, crazy leader. But I think Kenny led in just by his habits, man. Kenny was always a perfectionist, man. He always did things. Kenny was a great pro, man. And for a young player like myself coming up, and he was the starter and I was the backup, just watching them prepare for games, watching him, his professionalism, man, it was awesome to be a part of, man, for 3 years. So I commend Kenny Smith, but he led me. He led me. I don't know how the other guys thought about it, but he led me. I learned a lot from him. You know, Rob had to deal with Akeem Olajuwon, so that's another story there.
Whole another story. Whole another story.
We go on about that. You know, they trade their future point guard and their future small forward, power forward. You know, and Charles Barkley was a good player, but you don't trade to your young Bucks for that, for Charles Barkley, you know?
Yeah.
But hey, Charles was a good player, though. Charles was good. Wow.
But I mean, like, did you guys know, because you guys were both so young in the league, like when you went on that run, did you guys know early on how special
we won two championships? We won two championships in 3 years. I couldn't believe they broke the team up that fast.
Yeah. It's just wild to me. But did you guys know early on that, like, man, this is special? Or was it you just kind of, this is the way it is. This is how you win. This is, you know. You didn't realize what you were in when you were in it.
For me, when it really hit us, I think when we banded together after the incident when Danny Ainge hit Mario in the face with the ball. Yeah. Because we went out the next game. The game was 2-1. In the next game, we went out and we didn't care if we won or lost. We just was trying to kill Danny Ainge in that next game. And we went down 3-1. Then we said, all right, we got our revenge. And then we stepped on it, and when we won that series, we came back and won that series, being down 3-1, and we banded together as the group did. You know, when Clutch City was started up, and I think that's when I knew we had something special. And just looking around the locker room, you know, the top seven guys, we were just out there playing basketball, balling, enjoying the moment. No matter how much we got down, we just had a smile on our face, a skip in our step, and we just balled out.
Right. It was that team was something else, man, because we all knew our role and we accepted it. We knew going into the game that Clyde drew a dream at that time. We're going to shoot 30 shots. We knew that going in. And we wanted him to shoot 30 shots, yeah. You know, but we knew that. Dream also knew that he needed us to win the game. So he made sure we got our due share. You start trusting us, but that came from a long 82 games season for him to gain that trust from us, man. And so once he gained the trust from us that he believed in us, he had no problem passing us the ball to take crucial shots, man. And like Rob said, going down, we was Clutch City, went from Clutch City to Choke City. And we just, like Rob said, we band together, man. We start playing team basketball and you know, playing to each other's strength. And like I said, we knew Akeem Olajuwon was the focal point, and everybody in the world who was at that arena knew that Akeem Olajuwon was the focal point. But he also did an awesome job by making sure, you know, we helped them out along the way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just trust. That team is trust each other. Routine, trust us, you know. You know, it's unfortunate they broke that team up so quick.
It was weird because I was in Miami. Sam, where were you when they got the call?
I was in Penny Hardaway's celebrity basketball tournament.
Hey, Sam called me. You're like, Horo, man, I just got traded. I'm like, to who? To where? Did I get traded to? He's like, I don't know, man. I just got traded. I call you back. He hangs up the phone.
I was
and
mad,
so
man.
I get on the phone. I'm like, I call my agent. They were like, I don't know. I'm like, what the fuck? So I get back on a plane and leave Miami and go back to Houston. And I'm like, what the fuck, man? I don't want to go to fucking Phoenix, man. This is some bullshit.
Man. I think, man, Robert was so sad, boy. It's like taking a toy from a kid that had it for 3 years. It was sad. It was like a sad day. I've been traded 6 times. And that's the first time I cried, man. I cried after that trade. Mm. So I love, Rob, you know how we love Houston. Mm-hmm. Houston loved us. We got traded to Phoenix, and we just beat these people 2 years in a row. How are they going to respond? How are they going to like us? Yeah. We beat them. Charles going to the other team.
and when we got to Phoenix, we realized why we beat them. The culture there was not good. They was soft. They didn't know how to practice hard. And now me and Sam was like, oh, this is why we came back from 0-2. This is why we came back to 0-1 because you guys don't know how to practice hard. You know, you get a hangnail, you want to sit out. You got a cough, you want to sit out. You know, these are the bonding moments in practice. And you got certain guys that won't step up and say anything. That whole time we were there, we were just, you know, like, this is soft, man. This ain't what we used to. We used to going and practice, knocking each other down, picking you back up, and knocking you back down. You know, so
you remember, hey Rob, remember Carver and Brian Maxwell used to fight every practice.
Yes.
What happened?
Talk Brian about Maxwell with a guy named Carl Herrera. They used to fight every practice. They have some words or fight every practice. So, and Carl was on my team. He was on the second unit. It was the funniest thing. And the next day, they'd be fine.
Yeah.
They'd be fine for the game. They just fine. They just, both of them was competitive as man. They was crazy, but it was a fun group.
Yeah.
That was a fun team.
They got into a really big fight in the weight room one time. It was throwing dumbbells at each other, hitting each other with plates and shit. And like, I don't mean plates you eat off of. I'm talking about 45 dumbbell plates and something like that. I'm
Bing.
Like, bro, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's Mad Max.
You know? Seb, I wanted to ask you about, like you said, you've been traded quite a few times. And so you landed in so many different places. I want to talk about your time in Minnesota, you know, with KG and Latrell Sprewell. You know, obviously KG is a Hall of Famer now. Sprewell was, a really, really good player. You know, we always talk about KG as, you know, a very tough player, a guy who was never scared to run his mouth, never scared to talk to people. Just talk about your time with him, some of your best experiences with one Kevin Garnett.
Oh, man, he was something else, man. He was a different kind of competitor, man. He wanted to win so bad that it was sickening. Just watching him from a distance, and now I'm his teammate, just watching him. He's like a mad scientist, man. He wanted every rebound. He wanted to make every – he wanted to play – a perfect game every night. He wanted to go 10 for 10 from the field, 22 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 or 6 steals. He wanted to be perfect every night. And the thing about him, man, he just remembers everything. Like, he's a sponge about basketball knowledge. He's passionate. You hated him if he was on the opposite team, but you loved him if he was on your team. He's in the right place at the right time. Remind me of Robert Horry defensively, just in the right place at the right time all the time, you know. Rob helped me out so much defensively. Like, come on now. You gotta get past that screen, Sam. But that's how Kevin was. You know, Kevin just was, you know, he was the ultimate, he was a great teammate. And like me and Robert team, me and Robert only could fuss at each other. We were so young, we couldn't fuss at Vernon, you know. So we just fussed at each other. And people say, man, why y'all be fussing at each other? I'm like, man, fuck Rob. I'm like, fuck we was the two young guys that only just fussed at each other. Yeah. I turn the ball over. I think he should have been wider. I just fuss him out and everything. And he'll fuss at me and everything. We'd slap each other on the butt and say, all right, man, all right. Let's catch the goddamn ball next time.
The funny thing about that is I talk about it all the time, how guys is like, you're a family. And like, you can yell at your mom, your dad, your sister, your brother, but at the end of the day, you still love them. You're not going to hold a grudge. And these guys got to say, this is your second family. And you love these guys. You go to battle for them. You're going to have moments like that. I think nowadays guys hold grudges. They might not pass you the ball for a year because they mad is because, oh, you yelled at me. You know, you said I didn't pass you the ball. Well, you didn't. The film don't lie. So it's weird now that the bond, I think, is a totally different bond than the players. I don't know, Sam. You in the system more than me, but I just, from outside looking in, I just think each team is like has little cliques in it, and these guys don't have the love and the passion for one another because it's more of a business now. I know it's always been a business, but it's really a business now because it's about, you know, your social, your paycheck, and about, you know, what this guy have, what you have. And I think that the brotherhood is still tight, but not as tight when we were growing up or when mm-hmm. we came through it.
Yeah, I just don't. The only thing I get jealous of that the players have today that we didn't have, it ain't the money because the economy is so different right now. Mm-hmm. It's just the things they got access to, you know what I'm saying? They access to how they treated. They got, you know, the therapist and the ankle doctor, the tissue specialist. Man, I'm like, God, you know, like I'll get jealous of that. And I'm like, man, I'm jealous, man, because we ain't have that. We had a STEM mm-hmm. unit and an ultrasound unit. There's one unit, they changed it. We ain't have that, you know?
And a bag of ice.
Yeah. And a bag of ice. Like, yes. Man, I just see they get massages. They get released before the game. Then they get released after the game. Like, I sit there watching, like, damn, I only played 22 years. I had this kind of treatment. Yeah.
But the craziest part, they have all that treatment, but shit, they stay hurt, though, man. Yeah, man.
Like, that's part of it, right? I ain't got to be low management. I want some low management, too. Yeah. I take that. I miss a game or two.
Yeah.
Man, that's what I get jealous of. You know, the money, and I love the players. That's the players' league. I love the players get paid what they're supposed to get paid. But, man, that's the part I get jealous over, you know. Damn, the money is just the other stuff. The tissue doctor, you got your own. Some guys got their own physical therapist. Man, imagine Rob, you got one person that work with you all day, every day.
Hey, I'd have been flexible. I'd have been fast.
You'd have been on a good diet, fast, man. You know,
hey, I'd probably won 8 championships.
Yeah,
right.
Just one extra. Right. All y'all had was Rudy T and an ace bandage. It was like, here you go, wrap it up, walk it off, go nuts, man.
Yeah.
Go nuts.
Hey, you know these guys have milkshakes. All we had was a beer to put keep our weight on. They have all these drinks formulated to their body. Man, let me just give me a you know, a beer,
cold beer.
Just drink up.
So one thing that I talked about, I asked Rob, you know, about a couple of weeks ago. You know, obviously when you all were in the finals in '94. Mm-hmm. Versus the Knicks, you all, there was something else in the world that was crazy that was happening. And it was OJ in the white Bronco. And, you know, the networks are going back and forth between that and you're in the finals, back and forth. Mm-hmm. At that time when you were playing, obviously, I know you were focused on the game. But was there anything in your mind that was wondering, you know, I guess what was going on? Because most of the world and the nation was focused on that. Like,
well, I remember coming off the game. I remember it was a timeout. And Kenny Smith said, man, OJ in a high speed chase. I was like, man, fuck OJ right now. Ball, man. You know? I was like, fuck OJ, like, man, shit. I keep Dirk Harper off this ball, man. shit. I was like, then after one, I said, oh, it's real serious. I ain't know the things that transpired before that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I got home to the hotel, I was like, oh, it's real. So I was like, but I ain't had time to worry about it. Doc Harper was, the Knicks was hard.
Yeah.
I think Robert cracked his tailbone. Robert was hurt. That whole series.
Rob, your butt was hurting that series?
No, this is the thing. This is how we talk about treatment.
Yeah.
I went in for a dunk and he took me out of the air. And I landed on my ass. And I have a hairline fracture in my ass. But of course, they ask you if you can walk. I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't go get no treatment. I don't go to the doctor. And then I just remember when I get up, Sam goes over, hold on, you all right? And then pats me on my ass. I'm like, hey, man, come on.
Right, so, you get it ready.
And, so get it ready. I didn't know I had a hairline fracture till maybe like 6 months later when my back was hurting. And I went to x-ray. It says, you have a fracture in your ass. I'm like, what? I'm like, yeah. So that, let me just say that's
from basketball. I swear it's from basketball.
Two sprained wrists. I had 6 stitches in my arm. I had a hairline fracture in my coccyx, and it was just a bad. It was that when you talk about brutal basketball.
Yeah,
that was brutal. They don't realize that, man. Like,
Humpty Dumpty, you a broken man, aren't you?
For real.
I still was dunking on them, though. Yeah. I show you the heart I got.
Put your back up on the wall.
That's hard. It was hard.
Yeah.
Before we let you bounce, Sam, you know, you played so long in the league, you've coached for a while now. Is there like another player or a coach or somebody that you kind of consistently pull lessons from, like that you either coached you or you played with, you know, that helps you be a better coach now?
George Call. I talk to George Call all the time. He obviously gave me advice. Yeah, I do. George Call, like people always say, it's crazy, man, George Call. I never had a problem with George Call as my coach. You know, I enjoy playing for George Call. You know, George Call let me go. You know, he let me be who I am. Like, yeah, you're one of my best shooters, so I expect you to shoot the ball. But also, you know, you got Ray and Big Dog over there too, and they can shoot as well. So, you know, you got to mix in when you do it. So he's the first coach to allow me to be who I am. And say, okay, this is your team, but they are the stars. This is your team. They are the stars. So, George Call, the guy I talk to, Mike Woodson, I talk to around Doc Rivers every day. So, just the knowledge, not just the basketball knowledge, man, just learning how to run organization, man. That's the biggest, you know, aspect I get every day with working with Doc Rivers, man. Just seeing how he, you know, having people, how to treat people at your job, man. That doesn't happen all over. NBA, you know, Doc respects everyone, but he respects everyone around the office to do their job, man. That's the thing I pick up. If he got come in my office and say something to me negative, I know it's from the heart, and he wants me to get better. So, you know, I enjoy just seeing him, how he handles the whole front office, and just having that relationship with Daryl Morey and Elton Brand, who's doing a hell of a job as the general manager. It's a good atmosphere to be around in Philly.
So, one more thing, Sam. You talked to Spree?
I did, man. I did talk to Spree. And Spree? Shout out Spree? To the trail Spree Well.
Hey.
That's my man.
This is the funny part.
My guy.
Spree won't text me back, won't call me back. I'm like, dude, I don't want to borrow no money from you, man. You can call me back, man. But this is the weirdest thing, though. I asked because everybody that's in my circle, almost everybody, have gotten either a tweet, an Instagram message, or a phone call or a text saying, yo, this Spree, how Rob hit me up. Yep. I'm like, who in the hell? And it's weird. So have you gotten that text yet?
Yes.
Hey, where is this coming from?
I don't know. I don't call it. I have Spree number myself, so I don't ever call it. Like, it's my ass. You know, faking like catfish Spree.
It's the weirdest thing. I've had Spree. So many people, yo, Spree try to get in contact. I got Spree number. He won't call me back. I know this ain't Spree.
Right. That's crazy, right. Man. Yeah.
Tell him, Harp. Tell him.
he's been hitting us up on the podcast. I'm trying to get in touch with Rob. I'm like, I'm pretty sure Rob's got your number, man. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Did I hit the podcast?
Yep.
So I just wanted to see if you were getting that mysterious number, too.
That man, somebody going crazy.
Yeah. Going think crazy. About that. If you have the ability to get all these people's number, why are you wasting this talent on texting people and trying to get a hold? Get a job somewhere, man. Make a lot of money. Yeah. Work for the government or something, man.
Like Spree, we're about to Spree, man. One of the nicest individuals you can meet, man. I mean, awesome guy. If you don't know you, you have a problem. But you know Spree and he knows you, you can say nothing bad about him. I know I can't. And I know Rob feels the same way about him, you know, but he is hard to catch up with on the telephone. It's very hard to catch up on the telephone. When you see it, it's like you just saw him 10 days straight. Mm-hmm. It's like, man, where you been?
Yeah.
Where you been?
How come you never call? Are you kidding?
Exactly. I was just trying to ask him about, when was his daughter graduating? I mean, his son graduating from Alabama. I was like, was he going to be there the same time I was? Because Hollywood was there. His daughter graduated when I graduated. And I was like, okay, Spree, you're going to be here too. We can reunite and have some fun. But he wouldn't call a brother back.
That's Spree. That's Spree. All right, fellas.
All right, Sam. We appreciate you, Sam.
I appreciate you, my brother, man. Number love.
Thanks so much.
Orlando is my choice, man. Orlando.
He wants to go to the Magic, dude. Yeah.
Later.
All right, see you, Sam. Right.
At Simple Mobile, you get the no contract advantage. Those other mobile companies make you think you're in control, but you're really not. They lure you in with shiny new phones and then lock you into long-term contracts. But Simple Mobile is different. You can get a 30-day plan starting at $25. You can also get the latest smartphones, or if you have a compatible phone you love, you can bring it. Just text BYOP to 611-611 to see if your phone is compatible. It's the reliability you need when you need it. All on a powerful nationwide 5G network with no mystery fees, no activation fees, and no contract ever. All for less money and no contract ever.
5G capable device and SIM required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. 5G network is not available in all areas. 5G upload speed not yet available. Message and data rates may apply. Visit simplemobile.com/privacy policy for the privacy policy. Service plan required for activation. Terms at simplemobile.com.
Simple Mobile. Out with the old, in with the simple.
You brought up Orlando. Sam couldn't get off that call fast enough. He's like, hold up, wait. My connection's bad again. Hold on a minute.
You got to stop. Don't get your friends in trouble.
Yeah. Well, okay.
That's me rooting for it. I can't get him in trouble, man. No. I'm just putting it out there in the universe and hope that it happens.
You got to float it sometimes, right? You got to put it out there.
He winds up in Orlando. We're going to come back right to this moment. This is where it was announced.
Tampering. This is where it started.
I can't be considered tampering.
No, I'm kidding. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Everything's tampering in the NBA.
I know it, right?
Things.
I have no affiliation with the Magic. So
Robert Horry talked about the city of Orlando tampering. What are you talking about? Speaking of not wanting to get your friends in trouble, I don't know how far down the road you want to go with the Rachel Nichols story, in the sense that you literally just did an hour of television with Rachel today. Yeah. Today. Obviously, it's the biggest story in the NBA right now. You know her. You've worked with her. We don't. I mean, we know her just as a media member.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think when you heard it? And what do you know of Ms. Nichols that maybe kind of forms that opinion?
Well, when I saw it, I had to listen to it two or three times, mm-hmm. because you can listen to it and jump to some conclusions. But I listened to it two or three times. And I'm just going by how I perceived it, and people might not like how I say this. Some people might agree with how I say it, but I look at it as a person trying to protect their job. You know, she's talking about ESPN and their lack of hiring, you know, the diversity, but then she's saying, you know, I have my job. Don't take my money out of my pocket because you did a shitty job, you know. And a lot of people, I think, going to say, well, you know, you only got your job because of this. You only got your job because of that. Damn all that. I got a job. But don't try to take it out of my pocket now that you fucked up and the system's flawed and you're trying to rectify the system. That's how I took it. And I know Rachel. I've been knowing Rachel a long time. And I don't think she has a racist bone in her body. Think about it. Hell, everybody on the damn jump, then they're black that comes on there. You know what I mean?
I was thinking that too. Yeah.
I just think she does
work with black folks all day.
I think it came from a place of her trying to protect her job and protect her right to grow. And I don't know how much money she makes. I don't know what all that boils down to. It. I just looked at it like that. And, you know, and a lot of people don't agree with me, but when I know someone, I don't look at it as it coming from a racist point unless I feel like it is. And I just don't feel like that came from a racist point. And I know a lot of people go and say, go fuck you, because it is. And I think sometimes we try to make so many things racial when it shouldn't be. And I just don't think this one is a racial situation.
Okay. Like I said, you have the relationship with her, so you know better. Mm-hmm. I guess when I heard it, I guess the standpoint in which I was coming from is I get what she was saying, because you know, you mm-hmm. never, but at the same time, it sounded like it was coming from, it almost sounded like it was coming from a standpoint as though Maria was getting the job because they wanted to meet a quota and not because she was talented enough and she was deserving of it, which she is.
She is. And I'm not talking about Maria because Maria's a fucking, she's fucking awesome. I love her.
She's great.
But I'm just, when I look at, I try to put myself in the position, the words that come out, like, we so like that'd be right now if I came in there and try to take your job, and because I'm Robert Ory, former NBA player, and I got a relationship, I'm trying to ease in on your money, you know, and that's how I felt it. You know, when bottom line comes down to, people want to protect their pockets. You know, I don't give a damn if you white, black, green, yellow, or purple. When you start to dip into my pocket, when it should be in mine, you know, then I'm gonna have a problem with it. And that's just how it is. You know, think about it. NBA used to be like that, where the old head would knock a young buck on his ass, elbowing him in the mouth because he knew the young buck was coming for his money. And I feel like that's just how the situation was. And I know everybody always want to throw race in the mix and say that, but I just, that's just how I looked at it. And I could be wrong, and I don't give a two shits, but that's just my opinion. That's what make America great. We can all have our opinion.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wanted to ask you specifically because you do work with Rachel. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's someone that you know personally. It's someone you've worked with for a long time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I for me, I agree with you almost 100%. Mm-hmm. My big thing is always, and you know this from working in the media, we know this from working in the media, you better be damn careful about how you frame a point and where and when you make that point. Because the whole thing happened because she didn't turn off her damn Zoom camera. Yeah. And it's like, see, you, if you're going to get on a tirade, I mean, how many times have I been pissed at this place and been like... All right, now here's what I'm mad about. You know what I mean? Like, you got to do the double check to make sure cameras are off, doors are closed. Yeah. No, especially in this room, these microphones are on all the time.
Like, Maria's on her way up, man. Pretty soon,
you know, because let me tell you,
own show, because she's talented. Don't hold her back. You know, talented. You know, and smart, and can flip from, you know, talk about, you know, what's happening in the streets, to what's happening in society, to what's happening on Capitol Hill. She's very talented across the board. There's nothing that she can't do. She went to school for that.
Yep.
And so she's a master at it, man.
Because I saw her and, you know, they showed the side-by-side because I know Malika Andrews was on the sideline. Mm-hmm. And I saw the side-by-side, the split picture of Maria in one and Malika in the other. And, you know, I smiled at my TV. It was just, you know, just as an African-American, you know, in this country, it's just, you can't help but to be proud and to be happy. You know, I don't, I'm not saying that I don't want to go to the expense of somebody else, but it's just proud. It's a pride thing.
Really, let's really break it. It was two black women.
Yes. I love
on the biggest stage when it comes to basketball.
Abso-freaking
doing their thing.
Yep.
And that, and to me, I'm not going to say African American. I'm just going to break down two black women that work very hard to get where they are on the national stage. And I'm just happy they're doing their thing.
Yep.
Yeah. Very true.
Very proud.
All right. So you did a great job tiptoeing around all of that. I give you a lot of credit for that. It was very good. I like that. You didn't step on your friend's toes in any way, except when you called her a little old vet. I don't know how she'll feel about old vet.
Oh, she's older than me.
She's been in the game for 20 years, man. That's an old vet.
Yeah.
Shit.
Old vet. That's true. All right. Yeah, that's my fault. I'm sorry. Not like anyone brought up Jimmy Butler, so we're good.
You need this.
No, I'm forward. We're moving away.
What
am I missing out on Jimmy Butler?
It's out there as a story, so it's worth not talking about.
Here's a question: what kind of noise was coming out of that room?
Oh, bad place. Speaking of basketball, LeBron. There's been a lot of LeBron stuff this week, which I was surprised about, and it all has to do with Bronny. It has to do with him being at his kid's game and hollering at him and being out on the court during warm ups and all this stuff. And is he kind of maybe going too far to basketball dad and making it a little bit about LeBron and less about Bronny?
I think it gets to a point where you have to be a dad. You know, we know you're a celebrity dad, but be respectful of the game. You wouldn't want your son running out on the court or your wife running out on the court while you warming up or doing stuff. You know, cheering your section, cheering your spot, give high fives to the people in your little area. But don't go on the court, man. I know LeBron, I know, don't use your status, because any other dad would have been tossed.
See,
and so Yeah. So be respectful, everybody. Everybody's not there to watch you. This is not your time to shine, and it's not your son's time to shine. It's everybody on that court time to shine. You know, if your son does some extraordinary stuff, go right ahead. But, yo, it's about those kids. You know, it's their time. Your time is, you know, Laker uniform, you know, Space Jam 2, whatever it is.
Yep.
But just sit there and cheer like everybody else.
You're right. And here's the thing. I guarantee you somewhere in the back of Bronny's mind, he's sitting there like, oh, Lord, Pops, come on, not again. I bet he's sitting up there tired of LeBron.
If it's in the back of his mind, he's a teenager. That might be front and center.
Pops, did you not want to go play in the Olympics? Could you go do something?
Like, you got a prep, a movie junket to go do or something?
Like, Pops, I love
Space
your support.
Space Jam comes out next week. You got nothing else going on?
I love your support, and I love you.
They got the premiere tonight, I think.
Yeah.
You know, and it's great. But I know Bronny got to be like, Pops, please sit down. Because what's going to happen is every time that LeBron is at a game and something doesn't go Bronny's way, if he doesn't get a call or a call goes against him that LeBron doesn't – like,
all eyes on
he's going to, everybody's going to wonder, dang, your Pop's coming to fight your battles for you. You know, at what point is that going to stop? You're going to be in college and LeBron going to, you know, be at a game, leave the game, hop on a flight and come to your game and say, well, somebody said there was a problem up in here. What y'all do to my son?
And I
love the support that LeBron gives Bronny. I love fathers. But sometimes because LeBron is LeBron, you know all eyes are going to be on him when he enters the building, and you know why he's there. So it kind of does take a little bit away from the overall experience.
Right. Yeah, you can yell at the refs like everybody else do. You know, bad call, ref. But don't use your celebrity status to actually go on the court, say anything to anybody. Just, you know. Yeah, from the stands, like you're not LeBron James, and you're Bronny James' dad. Sit over there and cheer for him, for the team, and then yell at the refs like everybody else does.
Yeah, exactly.
But it is funny though. It's hilarious.
Well, here's the other thing though about it. It's how hard is it to just be dad when you've got eight people right next to you with the phone right on you the whole game, like everything you do, and like have you ever had that moment of like. Maybe fame got away from you a little bit, and you just thought, Mom, Robert Horry, I could probably get away with this.
No.
No?
No.
Never.
Because I've been so scared to get in trouble, man.
So it never got away from you.
Candace gets mad at me because I don't yell enough at the game. She's like, it's your son. You can cheer. I said, I cheer. And then sometimes I was like, bad call, ref. And she looked at me like, no. Shh, shh.
So we're going to be on TMZ.
We go
calm
back
down.
And forth with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just like in last game. This is a funny story. You remember Pfizer? I think his name was Pfizer. He played with the Bulls.
He's a COVID vaccine. Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
He played in the league for a while. He was on the coach. Christian runs down and takes a charge. And he was like, that's not a charge. He was on their bench. I said, it is a charge. He looked like, you don't know what you're talking about. I was like, dude, I said, it wasn't a charge. He got a position, right? And I wanted to say so bad. It's just because your ass never took a charge in your life, you don't know what a fucking charge is. But I couldn't say that because, you know, I'm there. Right. And he was trying to, you know, he was supposed to be this tough guy. I'm like, dude, you ain't scaring nobody. You done gained about 400 pounds now.
Oh, man.
You ain't scaring nobody.
Here come the shots.
Did the dude know? Did he know you? Did he know who he was talking to?
I don't think he knew because he's always had that tough kind of persona where he tried to turn around and give you a grimace. And I'm like, I was like, dude, I know more basketball than you. Now, come on now. So,
yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah, I always compare that.
It was funny, though. I don't think he knew it was me. He just kind of argued with me.
Well, you start to fight till you turn, and then you're like, oh, shit. So I didn't mean that. I was just, my emotions got away from me. I always kind of look at this stuff and I compare it to. Like when Shaquille goes to his kids' games, I don't really ever see the story becoming about him because he just kind of hangs back, you know, and cheers on his kids and rolls in, rolls out. And he knows, same thing, he knows all eyes are on him when he walks in the room. But, you know, he tends not to let it get away from him.
And, you know, and plus those two guys are of legendary status and they really stand out. I'm just some old gray-haired guy that's, you know, limping in.
Like don't nobody care that Robert Horry's at the game. Come on. Yeah. No, come on.
Hey,
don't
it was so weird. This guy was like talking to his kids when we were in Phoenix. Like, you don't know who that is? That's Robert Horry. That's Big Shot Bob. And the kid, like, I don't know who that is. Like,
no, the kid's not going
to. You need to YouTube him. He's like, I ain't wasting my time.
It's a short video. It's like 2 minutes.
He has seven championships. The kid's like, you got seven championships? Like, yeah.
okay. He didn't give two shits.
And the thing about it is, even when it comes to LeBron and Shaq, they're still at the opposite ends of the spectrum of how they handle things. Because numerous times, you know, Shaq is there to help, but you don't see him a whole lot of times up and, you know, yelling everything. He's like to sit back, hey, this is my kids' time. If they need me, I'm here. But I'm here to watch them play and do their thing.
Hey, it's Robert Ory, and at Simple Mobile, you get the no contract advantage. You can get a powerful nationwide 5G network all without a contract. Simple Mobile, out with the old, in with the simple.
5G capable device and SIM required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. 5G network not available in all areas. 5G upload speeds not yet available.
All right, well, before the show started, we were talking briefly about Shikari Richardson. It was announced yesterday she's officially off the roster for the U.S. track and field after she tested positive for marijuana before her Olympic trials, which is such a disappointment because, man, she's incredible. Holy cow. Just watching her run is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And she could have done such a great job representing our country. And, you know, I kind of walked the line on this one. I think it's ridiculous. However, it is a rule. And if you break the rule, you kind of have to pay the consequence. Even you knew it was a rule. I get. And the it's this weird dichotomy because there's so many states where it's legal recreationally. Yes. And I guess she was using it to cope with some stuff in her personal life. Mm-hmm. And it just you break the one rule and you can't. Now you kind of lose everything you worked for. I just think it's a weird story and a very disappointing story for that young woman.
Yeah, you know, you think about it, the Olympics is every 4 years. She's lost so much money for endorsements and everything. Think about it. I know she probably had a hairline. You know, someone when the hair products was going to come out.
Yeah.
You know, nails was going to come out. You know, Wheaties. All these opportunities are just gone. You know, she's probably lost about $1 million.
Probably lost more than that.
I'm just saying, you know, but that's my whole point. It's like when you're dealing with certain rules and regulations, you got to follow them. I guarantee you it was one of her peeps. It'll get out of your system before you'll be all right. And, you know, I don't know if it's the first time or second time or whatever. I don't care. Mm-hmm. But when you're trying to get a goal accomplished, you got to put yourself in the box. And you got to block out all the outside noise, keep all that stuff outside because you got one goal in mind. Yeah. That's to get to the next level. That's try to strive for greatness. And I think she had an opportunity. And now she's going to have to wait 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To get back to that point. Yeah. You know, I know they have a lot of other trials and stuff, but it ain't the Olympics.
Right.
Well, it's the biggest stage. I mean, that's where you make your name.
I just feel bad for her. She's young, so she probably got you know three more trips left. Maybe if she stay healthy. Mm-hmm. So, but she just missed out on a golden opportunity.
It breaks my heart.
Yeah, it's I completely agree, and you know, it's one of those things. Like I said, I know she was dealing with the passing of her mother, and so there's a level of grace that I kind of have because when you lose your mother, and then for her to find out in the way that she did that she kind of lost her mother, that's tough and that's rough and some people deal with things in ways in which others may not. So I'm not, there's no judgment there. But at the same time, on the flip side, they send out a list of banned substances that you cannot use and are banned by the Olympic Committee.
And you know they're going to test.
Yes.
They ain't like a halfway. This ain't like I'm going for a job interview at UPS and maybe I hope I can squeak by. No, they're going to like take hair and blood and you're getting the whole line.
Hey, you we had to do it like, where y'all come from? Hey, pee in this cup.
That's
yeah, and that's the way, really the way it is. It's like, look, I want her to run because like, I really was looking forward to her running and represent because I know all the opportunity that is available for her and for her to also be able to dedicate this to her mother. And I'm pretty sure her mother, you know, aware of her talent and her ability, would love for her to be able to showcase her talents on this international stage. And she doesn't get to do that now because of, you know, weed. And that's unfortunate.
Yeah. It sucks. Honestly, if you could smoke weed and still run fast, you should get a medal.
Exactly.
And not, I just want to take a nap.
And not like, swerve out of the lines.
Man, can I just lay down right here at the start line? For like
so, speaking of drug tests, what's his name? Did you see that? The basketball player, Michael?
Kid Gilchrist?
Kid Gilchrist.
Yeah.
You see where he posted a picture of him looking all yoked?
I didn't miss it.
The next day,
someone knocked on the door. Can you pee in this cup? The NBA sent someone to test it.
Oh, really? Because
he was like super yoked. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, come on, bro.
You know, they did that to AC Fresh, too, Alex Caruso. Man, that's the social media, boy. It's the power of social media. Like, man, it was just a good angle. I'm looking all ripped and buff. And so
Paul Pierce lost his job for doing that on social media, man.
Yeah,
you know?
AC Fresh, you know, got caught up in, you know, in Texas too with his weed. So, you know, these weed things are coming. Look, I get it. Look, I don't know anybody may be going through, but you know, like the laws. And look, I don't smoke at all. But I know that hey, weed should not be looked at like it's crack cocaine, and we want it to be legal. But outside of that, it's not legal in certain places. You got to abide by those rules.
I ain't gonna lie. I've been like, no. It's from the medication I put on my hand for the soreness. It's just
the CBD.
Let me rerun. Let's take this test again.
Yeah,
I'll try to take that test like three more times and try to pass that. Be like, no, that test is flawed. Let's do it again.
I do have some audio, and we'll do the big shot of the week because we're running a little long here. But audio of the week. Do you ever watch on the 4th of July?
Oh, my God.
The Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest.
Yeah.
Do you ever watch it? Are you familiar with it in any way?
I used to watch it, but I got tired of seeing the same guy winning over and over and over
again.
So
Chestnut.
I stopped watching.
Joey Chestnut.
It's not even fair.
He's smoking people by like 30 hot dogs. It's not even a competition. I mean, mm-hmm. He's just so far ahead of everybody.
Chuck is nasty.
But I will
dip it in the soda.
Oh, it's just so horrible. They wet the buns in the in like fruit punch and lemonade, and oh, it's disgusting. And then their face looks like when you feed a 3-year-old, and it's just everywhere. it's terrifying. But
I couldn't eat 3 hot dogs without throwing up.
Oh, dude, and I like that's the thing. I don't want to eat anything after I watch this. Like my wife will put it on and be like, "I'm done. I'm done for the night. I can't even eat a hamburger tonight. I'm out."
But, hey, I'm not even gonna lie though. I do like a good Costco hot dog every now and then.
A Costco hot dog?
Oh, y'all have Sam's Club, right? Oh, you have Costco.
No, we have Costco here.
I still ain't eat no hot dog from there.
What? You never had a Costco hot dog?
What do you mean, like what the ones they serve out front? Like a little cart out in front of Costco?
Well, no, they're attached to the buildings. It's like a little restaurant right there, and you walk out. It's Costco. You get a hot dog. Man, I'm some of the best hot dogs you can have, man.
I ain't never heard of a Costco hot dog.
How about have you had a pizza from Costco?
Hell no.
I haven't been to Costco in a while,
yeah,
bro.
What is Costco, like Chuck E. Cheese all of a sudden?
It's been like that forever, man.
Oh, no, like, I don't. Maybe this is a California thing, because not out here,
Texas,
man.
Texas, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Not out here.
Well, you and Joey Chestnut backed up like L.A. traffic. Boy, y'all need to clear y'all system, boy. Damn. Y'all need some water and some other stuff.
Hey, just get you some wheatgrass. It'll come right on out
you. Oh. All right, well, I did want to play the audio for you, and here's the audio. If I ever get introduced for anything in my life, I hope it's with a slither of the excitement that George Shea, who's the commissioner of Major League Eating, which is an actual thing, puts into his introduction for Joey Chestnut, because this is better than like the Jordan Bulls introductions. Listen to this crap.
What greater fortune have we to live in America, to stand side by side on the 4th of July, to behold this man? What greater fortune? The number one ranked eater in the world. The Nathan's Famous champion of the world. Joey Chestnut!
You would think that man is introducing Michael Jordan. I mean, my God.
No, that's like one of those Mike Tyson, Muhammad Ali, when they coming into the ring and as they're walking.
And here he comes. I'm afraid you're going to demand a show intro like this now every week. Today, we gather to
today you are all equals.
This man is literally just going up on stage to eat some hot dogs, and you introduced him like he the greatest thing.
Did he stop and pick up some dirt and do it like this?
Do like the LeBron chalk there throw? And yeah, oh man, nope.
And I watched this live, and I'm just looking at Joey Chestnut is, you know, you eat that many hot dogs, you're a weird looking dude. So, you know, I'm looking at him as he's walking down and his serious face and his unhinged jaw. And I'm like, this dude finna throw down about 70 of them things.
He ate 76 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes.
There's not enough laxative in the world that could clear out a system of a man in one. I don't care what you dip it in. That can clear a man who gonna eat 70 hot dogs. Bro, what is your problem?
My whole thing is, when do you eat again after that?
Never.
Because you're so full.
Calendar
August,
year.
August, you eat again.
Hey, let's just say this. He clears out a house when he comes home from an event. Because
nobody
gonna be up in that house with him.
I can't imagine. And then they'll put like the other records up that he holds, and he's like the mutton sandwich eating champion of the world. He ate like 81 mutton sandwiches in 20 minutes. And
he must
be
the worst at cookouts. He got to be, because all the food gone.
No, I mean, like, he's got a toilet endorsement, like a plumbing endorsement. He has to, right? He's got it.
He has to.
He absolutely has to. All right, I just love the introduction from George Shea on that, and I will forever use this music now as, like, the big hype music. Let's wrap it up with the big shot of the week. Always a good note to end the show. Goes out this week to Anna Harp, 28, and Abrielle Clausing, 21. They are sisters from Arkansas. Here's why they get the big shot of the week. They went viral on TikTok as a salute to their father, Rudolph, who passed away in January from COVID. After they were cleaning up his hospital room, they found a note to the two girls that just simply said, "It has been such a good life." And they found this note in his bed. Mm. So the two girls on TikTok tell their story and then go get those tattoos. So now both of these girls have a tattoo with the last words from their dad saying, "It was such a good life." Just bravo to them. Just a nice tribute to their dad. And Rob, I know you kind of went through this with your daughter as well. So I thought kind of hit close to home. You know?
When you have a loved one like that and, you know, your parents, you know, they're not going to be here forever. And you know that he said it has been such a good life. It makes you feel a little better, you know, that he said I had a good life. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of it probably had to do with his daughters.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how we are as parents. You know, our kids make our life a little bit more special. And so to go out and represent him like that and say it's such been a good life probably makes them feel good. Now they have another bond. You know, they have the same tattoos. And so that's a special moment that's going to be shared forever.
Didn't you get a tattoo for your daughter?
Well, I was supposed to get a tattoo. I've been trying to find one. Okay. You know, it's weird. Every time I see a person with a nice tat, I ask them who did their ink. And I'm trying to find one because I want mine to go right here on my bicep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And just on the inside, so when I'm feeling, you know, sad, I can look at that because it's more for me,
yeah.
You know, not for the world. So it's just something a place where I want to put it.
That's what's up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just a nice good for those two girls though. A couple of very high caliber young ladies to go get that little. And I hope that when I'm going, I can write a note that says just it was such a great life.
It was a good life.
I know.
Such a great life. Because I think people don't like, especially toward the end of your life, you get caught up in the cycle of everything that's wrong and everything that isn't working and everything that's falling apart underneath you. And it's like, have that moment. Celebrate everything you have and everything you've done. You know, it's hard to do.
See, I'm going to be an ass, so I'm going to leave a scavenger hunt for my kids. Hey. Whoever can find this first gets the key to this golden city.
Robert Ory's last note to his kids, find my money.
And when they find it, it's going to be a shoebox with this in there.
Exactly. That is terrible.
Just a picture of you waving your money around like, no, hey, no. Nope.
It's funny. I laugh because I tell my wife this all the time. I say, shit, when I leave this earth, my kids gonna be on their own because the only thing I'm gonna leave them is enough money to put my ass in the grave. That's it.
Throw me in the ground. Everything else going to my podcast partner. So good luck to you.
Hey, I don't think you've seen my three boys. They come looking for y'all. Y'all better run.
Hey, however much money you give him, he was like, this is supposed to be used to put him in the ground. Let's just dig a hole. You just throw him in there and throw it in there.
They just said, no, just leave him in there. Somebody come.
Nah, he's all right. Just prop him up outside Staples. He'll figure it out. I'll turn him into a statue or something.
Follow the show on Twitter at Big Shot Bob Pod for links to all our guests and all sorts of fun. The Big Shot Bob Pod is a presentation of Live by Live's Podcast One and Podcast One Sportsnet.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, and welcome to T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast, the most fun you'll ever listen to while you're folding your clothes. Now let's get this straight. This is not your average podcast. T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio is super fun, super crazy. It's pretty much an in-your-face conversation. That's the good thing about us. We don't do interviews. We do conversations. All of my guests, all of my co-hosts, we chill. We drink. We play games. We have the song of the week. We have the creative curse word of the week. As long as you're having fun as our guests. Speaking of guests, each week I'm going to go through my whole contact list and dive headfirst into the world of music, gaming, exotic cars, tech, strippers probably, doctors probably strippers that are only stripping so they can pay for tuition to become a doctor. You never know. My wife is a certified bartender. She'll make you a drink while you're here. We'll get you drunk and make you play VR after. It's a lot going on, but that's what it's all about over here at T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. See you.